cactus where your heart should be, has lovely little flowers. So though it's always pricking me, my ardor never sours. The cactus where your heart once was has power to rend and flay. I stick because I'm stuck because I just can't tear myself
away. The music playing is Interstellar Dub by DJ Mad from Portland label Zam Zam Sounds, and this is Art Focus on KBOO Radio. I'm your host, Andre Middleton. Today, my call-in guest is photographer Lance Dawes, but first up, some local art news. The opening of Echo Hecho Gallery is happening Saturday, July 30th from 6 to 9 over at the Q Center. I met Stacy, Elizabeth, and Andrea at the Precipice Awards ceremony last year, and they've been a guest on our show. They are an amazing trio of Puches Radicatas. This gallery will showcase the work that speaks to their identities as queer Chicanas living in the Pacific Northwest. And did I mention that the gallery is actually in a camper? So please check them out on Facebook. Check them out on our Facebook page as well. But it's going to be a great exhibit. Next up, on behalf of the Oregon Zoo, Metro Regional Government in Portland, Oregon, and the Regional Arts and Culture Council, invites artists or artist teams to submit qualifications for a Percent for Art commission for the Central Plaza / Polar Passage at the Oregon Zoo. The site for the public art will be at the heart of the zoo's 64 acres and along the main guest path through the zoo. The project is seeking art and artists who will work with the design team of CLR Design, Play Studio, and the Oregon Zoo to identify appropriate sites and applications for public art and to subsequently design, fabricate, and install the work at the site. The design phase is underway and the construction is scheduled to begin at the end of 2017. With completion in the fall of 2018. The total art budget is $200,000. Deadline for submitting materials is at 11:59 p.m. Monday, August 8th, 2016. So please get on that. To find out more information about this opportunity, please visit the public art page at the RAC website. That's www.racc.org. Disorient film screening is happening Wednesday, August 24th, 6 p.m. at the Academy Theater, sponsored by APANO, the Regional Arts and Culture Council, and the Q Center. Disorient, a social justice film festival dedicated to the deconstructing the media stereotypes of Asian and Pacific Islanders, Americans, otherwise known as Orientals, is teaming up with APANO. Joining us at the Portland Academy Theater for a summer double feature, Pamakahan, and it runs in the family. The Disorient film screening is part of Mic Check, a summer cultural event series that utilizes the arts to illuminate pressing issues faced by APIs. The series amplifies voices of APIs whose stories are often silenced or unheard by engaging community-relevant topics such as health, equity, education, and interracial solidarity. The series brings community members and practicing API artists together to create a bridge that shares ideas and rewrites dominant representations of APIs. Well, today my guest is Lance Dawes. Lance is best known for his work as a documentary and editorial photographer in the world of skateboarding. Lance began shooting skaters and other misfits as a teen, while becoming a sponsored skateboarder for the legendary Dogtown Skateboards. In 1990, he attended film school at the University of San Francisco while working as a darkroom technician at Thrasher Magazine. In 1992, Lance found Slap Magazine, where he was the editor, art director, and chief photographer. While instrumental in documenting the San Francisco skate and music scene in the 1990s, Lance also traveled the world into a new millennium, including Australia, India, Asia, South Africa, Central and South Americas, and Europe. Lance's upcoming show at the Union Knot Gallery, Friday, August 5th through the 28th. Welcome to Art Focus, Lance.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Great. So, what came to you first? Was it actually skateboarding or was it photography?
Ooh, that's a good question. Probably photography, because my mom was a photographer and she used to go to community college and work in the darkroom, obviously developing and printing photos. And me as a little kid, like 5, 6, 7 years old, I'd sit in the hallway at Montgomery College in Tacoma Park, Maryland. I'd sit in the hallway and just play with, you know, matchbook cars or whatever. So I think I was always around photography.
Right.
But then, yeah, when I got old, 1978, I was 8 years old for Christmas, I got my first skateboard.
Nice.
And it's kind of been downhill ever since.
literally. So
yeah,
what do you think?
Literally, yeah.
What do you think it was about photography that spoke to you besides the connection with your mom?
Growing up in the Maryland, D.C. area, in the early 80s, obviously skateboarding was a huge part of my life. And then I got into music and got into punk scene in D.C. And I think that, you know, the skateboarding and punk scene, the whole DIY ethos, we started making our own zines and started shooting our own, you know, photos of ourselves skating. And, you know, we were all me and all my friends were in art school or art class in our high school and junior high. And, you know, trying to figure out how to print photos of ourselves skating. We wanted to emulate skateboard magazines.
Right. So speaking of that, so what do you think was your first big break when it came to both skateboarding and photography?
Oh, that's an easy one. I mean, I'd say about 1988, I got sponsored by Dogtown Skateboards, an independent truck company, and Vans, you know, footwear, shoes. And like any kid on the East Coast, my dream was to go to the West Coast. You know, I wanted to go and skate in the sun and the fun. And, you know, there's surfing, which just seemed crazy to me. Like, and everything we saw in the magazines back then, Thrasher Magazine, Transworld Magazine, was all pretty much California. So when I was 19, I moved to San Francisco. I drove across the country with a buddy of mine named Peter. And we, you know, took the southern route, went through Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and actually went straight to Tijuana to go to an old skate park down there and drove up the coast, stopped in San Francisco, stayed at a friend's house, started looking for a job. I mean, I could work anywhere, McDonald's. It was really hard to find a job. Met a bunch of skaters there. One day there was two people sitting in a van and called me like, "Hey, come here, kid," which is, you know,
we got candy.
Sketchy. Yeah, hey, we got some candy. Come here, kid. But I kind of recognized one, so I walked over, and the driver was a guy named Mofo. I mean, that's not his real name, but that's what he's known as. And he was the chief photographer and photo editor at Thrasher Magazine.
Sweet.
And he was sitting in the car with another skateboard photographer, this guy named Scott Starr, and they were like, "Hey, who are you? Like, we haven't seen you around here. It's a small scene in San Francisco."
Right.
You know, "Where are you from? What's your name? Whatever. You want to go shoot photos tomorrow?" And being naive, I'm like, "Well, how do they know I'm a photographer and I'm in film school? What do they want me to go shoot photos of?" Thinking they wanted me to go actually shoot a photo.
No, but they wanted to shoot you.
They wanted to shoot a photo of me. I that was a dream to have a photo in Thrasher Magazine. So I met up with them the next day. They took me to all around San Francisco and Berkeley. And the whole day I was telling them, you know, I just moved here from D.C. and I'm going to film school. I was going to film school to make films, but I was shooting, you know, in the photography at the same time. And that was the end of that. And a few months later, the guy Mofo called me on the phone. He's like, hey, this is Mo. The guy in the dark room's leaving in 3 days. If you want the job, be here tomorrow at 8. The job's yours.
Nice.
He had remembered me telling him that I was looking for a job and I was in the photography. And he gave me my first chance. And it was more than a dream come true. It was insane. I mean, it was great.
Well, now, if you don't mind me saying, you're a pretty striking looking dude. I can only imagine how tall and lanky you were back in the early 90s. But on one level, it's not surprising that he would want to shoot you, because I imagine just, you know, seeing someone of your frame and size on a skateboard was obviously an arresting picture. How did you connect with other skateboarders once you switched sides and became the photographer?
Wow. Well, that's a compliment. I think more than anything back then, again, San Francisco was a really small scene. I think more that I was an unknown. I was just somebody that he didn't know, which was rare because he was the editor, you know, photo editor of Thrasher. He knew everybody. So
right.
Here's just another kid, like, who's this kid? You know, and that's what you do. You always search for new talent, right?
Right.
But I guess your question is, how did I relate to other skateboarders when I started?
Exactly.
Shooting more? Well, I think my age had a lot to do with it. I was still really young, and I skated every day. I mean, that was the difference. That's the difference between anything. If, you know, you really want to be a part of something, or as a photographer, you want to document something, you have to be a part of it. That's the way I think of it. You have to dive headfirst into it. I didn't have to do that because I was already... That was my whole being, is to be a skateboarder more than a photographer at the time.
Right.
So my friends were the guys coming up in skateboarding. They were the pro, you know, the big pro skateboarders of tomorrow. So it was really easy to relate. I mean, I guess part of me, the hardest part was relating to the older, more established pro skaters, because I mean, I looked up to them, and so meeting and talking to these older established guys when I was in a position to meet and talk to them, I was kind of starstruck. I mean, it's pretty neat.
I can imagine. So let's talk about Untouchable.
Untouchable.
Yeah.
The show at Union Knot.
Yes, right. The show at Union Knot. New photography, old photography. Tell us about your editorial process. What brought this show together?
Mostly... older photography. There's one new image, or fairly new within the last few years. My girlfriend and baby mama, Natasha Snellman, her mother, Heidi Snellman, owns the gallery. So I guess, I don't know if that's cheating or not.
Oh, no. Fam. You got to go with family comes first.
Yeah, it's family. Yeah, it's family. Exactly. No, it's totally family. We came up with Untouchable because, you know, I think skateboarding, there is this element of, and the show's not completely skateboarding, don't let me. I don't want to say that. But, I mean, anything that I do is going to have a, you know, is influenced by skateboarding.
Right.
So I think the show and the name Untouchable is, there's an element of skateboarding and rebellious youth culture that is almost invisible to the world. Like, as a skateboarder, we kind of skate through the world and do what we want, where we want, how we want, when we want. And we're kind of, nobody sees us. We go out at night. We do our thing. We're just, you know, we can skate through the worst neighborhoods in the best neighborhoods. And they don't pay any attention to us. So I think that's what the show is about. We're untouchable, all of us. You don't see us.
Nice.
I don't know. Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense.
Does it have to make sense? I don't know if it has to make sense.
It doesn't have to, but I used to skate and I used to rollerblade, and you're right. In the wee hours between, you know, 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning when everybody else is sleeping, you're right. You're like a silent ghost slowly, you know, carving up the streets or going through parking lots. It's an amazing feeling to not to be invisible to the world, where, you know, if it had been, you know, 6 hours earlier and it's 8 o'clock and there's police and shop owners and pedestrians and cars, it's amazing how free that can feel.
And you know, growing up in the punk scene, the punk in the 80s was the exact same way. It was a whole subculture, tons of kids around the world in the country that were into it. We were completely ignored and invisible by the rest of, you know, mainstream music, which we reveled in. We didn't want to be a part of, you know, mainstream, the music industry at the time. And look what's been spawned out of that. I mean, you know, I look at it that the majority of pop culture from the last 20 years has been in some way or some form influenced by skateboarding, whether it be hip hop or punk rock or metal. Any sort of music genre right now, I think, has been influenced by skateboarding.
Well,
DIY ethics.
I completely buy that. I mean, there's something about the skateboard culture that is so insular and self-protecting. And you know, they can spot a faker, they can spot someone who's trying to take advantage of them a mile away. And
a
like, you know, a mile away, you know, we don't really need you. So don't think you come in here and buy us because you think that we're so desperate for your love or attention. We get love from each other. And that's all the love we need. So that makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
It makes a lot of sense. So, let's see. Another question I wanted to ask him. For you, how has the medium of skate photography changed with technology? I mean, now we've got micro cameras and, you know, I mean, just I remember seeing people literally skateboarding backwards, skateboarding someone coming towards them with this huge honking video camera. How has the scene changed? How has your job changed?
Photography-wise, I don't think it has to do with skateboarding. I think it has to do with photography in general and technology. I mean, where we were shooting, you know, bricks and bricks of film all the way up until, like, the early 2000s, and now everything's digital. It's also the medium of what we're looking at, too. You know, do we want to wait for something? Do we want to look at images a month or two after they've happened in a magazine, or can we look at them instantly on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever? I'm for all of it. I mean, as a consumer, skateboarding or not, I want to see the best of the best right now. And if that means seeing something in, you know, social media right now, then so be it. If, you know, and if I don't want to have to wait a couple months, and that's, you know, it's hard for me to say because I like print. I'm a magazine guy. I love it. But as a consumer, as a skateboarder, as a photographer, I want to see it now. And that's what's changed. It's like people can see it instantly. There's so much more content to look at today. There's probably as much content in one day to look at than there was in like the entire year of 1989.
Right, that makes a lot of sense because you think about it, back in 1999, you had a team of editors across several different magazines that were literally curating what you got to see. Now, everybody can put it out there directly and the community's curating it by how many likes or how many shares or who gets tagged. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So
we used to say at the magazine that we told people what was cool. We told people what they wanted to like before they even knew they wanted to like it. I mean, that was us because we were in control of what you saw.
Right.
But now it's not about us being in control or magazines being in control. It's everybody has that power to curate their own worlds.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, you know, love it or hate it, it's pretty amazing.
It is. And, you know, upside, downside, how is this impacting you as a breadwinner? You know, I mean, some questions I wanted to ask, you know, as we get into it, how do you balance commercial work versus creative work? You know, are you branching to different agencies, different magazines? I mean, you're right. Everybody's putting it out there pretty much for free. And, you know, Instagram and Facebook are, you know, getting their numbers up as far as hits and views. How's that impacting you in your career?
Well, it depends on what you mean by career. So my day to day is I'm a product photographer. I'm a commercial photographer for a footwear company.
Okay.
A lot of the new stuff that I shoot, which I have to be honest, I don't shoot nearly as much as I would like to.
Okay.
I mean, with family and, you know, just the way the world goes around, you know, doesn't leave me as much time as when I was in my 20s and all I did was walk around every single day and shoot photographs.
Welcome to my world.
Absolutely. So, you know, today I look at things a little differently. We talk about art photography. I don't really know what that is. I think all photography is art, even commercial. Like, there's an art to it. And there's a lot of skill that goes into shooting, you know, product and commercial and, you know, fashion, landscape photography. Though I am biased, I think skateboard photographers are some of the most underrated and greatest photographers in the world. the things they have to go through, lugging around equipment in cities, you know, at night, getting chased by, well, getting chased by cops, getting chased by the locals. Like, you know, it's a tough job, but it's the greatest thing in the world. I miss a lot of parts of it, you know, the day-to-day shooting skateboarding, but it doesn't really affect me today. I mean, I mostly shoot digi, just out of, that's what we shoot, you know, and I do a lot of retouching and post work. So, you know, shooting digital is way easier. I love shooting film, but, you know, let's be honest, shooting film is expensive.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a, it, I mean, you know, there's no way around it. It is a pricey, you know, art form. It's just, it's not cheap anymore.
Right. Right. No, you're absolutely right. You mentioned family, life. You recently had a second child. Congratulations. Coming up on a year.
Yeah.
Right? Coming up on a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how are you maintaining this life-work balance?
Do you ever maintain it? Yeah, I don't. You just, you know, it's like skateboarding. You just roll along with it every day and figure it out.
Nice. Nice, nice. So what's next? So what's next for you? You got any things you can share with my audience before I let you go? What's going on? What's going on down with you in LA? You got any shows coming up in other parts of the country? Talk to me.
No plans for shows yet. LA is great. It's hot here today. It's like 102. So you're feeling great.
I hope you're nowhere near that fire.
Oh yeah, well yeah, we have a couple down here too. The Santa Clarita fire is just covering everything in ash. So, I hear you. What's coming up with me? Well, I'm working on a book.
Nice.
I've been working on it for a couple years, but within the last year, I've kind of narrowed it down to a theme, and that was the hardest part for me, figuring out a reason to make a book. I didn't want to just put a lot of stuff together and hodgepodge it and make a full skateboarding book or, you know, just a street photography book. I wanted a real reason to make it. So I figured that out and I'm working on that. And yeah, just trying to get that together. Hopefully maybe early next year.
Okay.
We'll be done. Yeah. That'd be fun.
Well, make sure, let me know about it. I want to hype it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Make sure. Great. Well, listen, Lance, please give my best to Natasha and Heidi, and
yes.
I'll see you at the opening on August 5th at the Union Knot Gallery right here in Portland, Oregon, on the corner of Knot and MLK, right pretty much next door to Portland Community Media. Lance, thank you so much for joining us. Had a great time, and I love your work.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, folks, that was Lance Dawes. You can see a bit of his work on our KBOO FM Art Focus show page. I've got some links there as well, so you can go check out his website. He has tons of his work online. A lot of it is black and white photography, but it is so true and clear and gritty. He knows what he's doing, and he's been doing it for quite some time. Just want to make sure that I hip you to a bit of our art news again. The opening of Echo Hetchel Gallery is happening Saturday, July 30th from 6 to 9 at the Q Center. Please go check it out. Like I mentioned, it's in a camper, so it can move around. But like I said, I met them at the Precipice Awards over at Pica a year ago, and those are three incredible artists. Just such big fans. Also, don't forget that there's Monday, August 8th, there is a deadline for submitting materials for the Regional Arts and Culture Council's call for submissions for a Percent for Art Commission for the Oregon Zoo. It's going to be a great opportunity for an artist or team of artists to make a new permanent addition to the Portland metro art scene. And last but not least, did Disorient film screening Wednesday, August 24th at 6 p.m. at the Academy Theater, sponsored by Apano, Rack, and the Q Center. Yeah, let's destroy some of the stereotypes that have been foisted upon our fellow APIs and members of the community. This is how they tell their story. This is how they tell their narrative. And I, for one, as an ally and an accomplice, enjoy hearing it come from their mouths. Well, that just about wraps up another episode of Art Focus. As always, you can find photos, links, as well as all the guest info on our show page, or please visit our Art Focus page on Facebook. Check out all the events that are happening around town. We got First Thursday coming up soon, so don't forget that. Remember, if you missed any part of today's show, there will be a podcast or on demand of the show online sometime later today. As always, it's my goal to meet and introduce the listeners of KBOO to a broad spectrum of regional artists. If you're a visual artist or a musician or any artist in any medium, I'd love to have you on our show. It's also my goal to share information relevant to artists as well. So when I learn of residencies, grant deadlines, call for artists, you'll hear about it here, as well as on our Facebook page or our KBOO Art Focus show page. We're going out to the music of Danny Skrilla from Portland's own Zam Zam Sounds. Thank you again for joining us in Art Focus here on KBOO Radio. Take care, peace. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Show me a love. Monday through Thursday from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. for special live convention coverage produced by the Pacifica News Network. Monday, July 25th through Thursday, July 28th, hear the coverage from the Democratic Convention from Philadelphia, including exclusive content from KBOO reporter Teresa Mitchell. Again, that's July 25th through the 28th, 5 to 9 p.m. for coverage from the Democratic Convention produced by the Pacifica News Network. Here on your community radio station, KBOO, Portland.